Oh, hello, sir.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Sir.
Oh, you brought coffees.
I've got coffees.
Am I an Americano? This is your microphone.
Of course. You're white Americano with all the sweetener in the world.
So we had artificial sweetness.
Yeah, we did have artificial sweetness.
You better do.
I'm upset about it.
For a calorie-controlled establishment, we better have artificial sweetness, bro.
We now have calories on our menu.
I know you do. I know you do. It's unacceptable. If not, I would be putting a complaint into the management.
That's very fair.
Yeah.
We're getting it done.
Literally.
That's not good that way up. Let's do this properly. Hello, everyone.
Yes, we're live.
Are we rolling?
Yep, the microphones are working. We're on. We're live. We're back. Welcome. Can I do the intro?
Please do.
Welcome to Fit Talk Radio. Fit Talk Radio, filling your airwaves.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It's Nutrition Pirate Radio.
Straight
it's Connor
to
Rhodes
the...
and Will Hukin Radio.
Straight to the ears. Get in. This has to be American, does it?
I don't know. This is my intro voice. We don't have an intro theme tune.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's time.
Look, we actually have the most official looking Fit Talk Radio poster in the background as well.
You've made this. Thank you.
It's so good. I don't understand how I could have done any better. So I'm very proud of myself.
It's an improvement on last week's set. We didn't have this last week. So now if we make one improvement per week, who knows where we'll be?
We'll be floating,
you know,
soon.
It's little steps forward, isn't it? So you've written... I like how you've done the block writing. I actually struggle with that. The conceptual visualization of the block text is difficult for me.
You don't understand
that? No, I can't really do it.
It's this stuff that gets me.
Normal writing?
Which part? Should we talk sponsors?
No. No, definitely not.
Fucking.
Definitely not. The worst thing you can ever do on a podcast is start with the sponsors. It's the biggest, I care more about the money than the audience move you can ever make on a podcast
What if two of them are us and none of them are paying us?
We're still not doing it because we have respect for the audience. There's only me, you and the listeners, and we're not going to start bullying them immediately.
Yeah, no, this is very fair.
So we've got the sponsors written down. Last week, we did two episodes. We didn't say anything about any sponsors at all.
Good.
Soz. But we do what we want.
No, we had one of the sponsors was on. We had Mr. Tom Lee.
Yeah, from the Station Gym.
Excellent friend of both of ours. Yeah.
Episode 2 this week, we've got Phil Roberts. I want him to do the introduction. We need to ask him to do it. Hi, everyone. It's Phil Roberts down
with
at the Station Gym. Yeah, with the clap.
The classic, yeah.
Absolutely amazing. We've got him coming on at episode 2.
He's got it down by now, yeah.
Episode 3, we're back.
Yep.
It's the number one health and fitness podcast in the world.
I think we're here. We've made it.
If you ranked all health and fitness podcasts from least to most in terms of viewers, then we're number one. We're on episode 3. We've uploaded 0.
We've made
no uploads. So
we're feeling good about this. We'll have 4 in the bank after today. We'll have none online.
I mean, I love us, so I'm happy.
Do you know what I was thinking on the way up here? Is how this was probably the most excited I was to come in so far this week, kind of thing.
Yes.
It's super good, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
My boy.
I'm getting here thinking like, oh,
we're back.
Sit down, chat some shit for a bit. Great.
We know we chat things.
We do
not
chat
profanities.
Things. No.
You profanize.
That's a word, isn't it?
It is now.
Alrighty.
It is now.
Connor Rhodes.
Don't you? Occasionally. I am actually polite, sir. Or I try to be.
I am polite.
I have respect for you, me, the audience, the listeners, the information, the establishment.
I know. The establishment. Ah, the establishment. We do like this establishment, don't we? We're training after this together. We're going to try and get some shit done.
We've just found out that we've got the exact same schedule.
So
we're on podcast now. We've got Phil coming on after. Then we're both doing a little bit of online work in the cafe.
Yeah.
Then we're going to do some training. What are you actually training today? And then
that is a good question.
And then I want you to guess what I'm training.
Oh,
after you've said.
You'll be doing, you have like 4 different workouts only that you just do on repeat, which is good, we should say, but it's always either.
Is it working?
Is it working?
Is it working?
I'd say working.
Minorly at best.
What are we saying?
Minorly at best, it's working.
Front double biceps with sweat patches for the camera. Yes, he wore grey.
Yes!
Yes! He wore the best colour to sweat in. Is it warm in here? Is it just me?
I think you're just excited to see me.
I always am, mate. I always am.
I think you're just revved up and ready for action.
The internet's been getting jealous about our flirtations.
In what way?
Our Instagram pull. In fact, we haven't spoken since you uploaded that, have we?
No.
No, the pull up.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that as well. Yeah, we should do more of this today. I'm thinking hip thrust today.
really
turn it up.
Hip thrusts.
Yeah.
I hated that in lockdown. It's the most Instagram bait thing you can ever do.
Brett Contreras got all over it. he was like, let me find the 10 clients that I've got that will sit on my lap and just do every hip variation. Listen, with them.
Can I say something controversial?
Yeah, I would love
it. I don't care. I'm it makes good content. Say it anyway. Half of me loves Brett Contreras for what he's done for the industry. Yep. He is the glute guy. Okay, he did popularize the hip thrust. This is all a good idea. I've got his book.
Do you?
Yeah.
Paperback, like real version.
It's massive. It's thick. I've got his book. I've read the whole thing. I respect this guy for all this. But also, I don't know if it's just me and the way that I go about things, but he's also just like palpating too many glutes on Instagram.
Agreed.
I'm like, agreed. This has gone too far in my opinion. Yeah. You know, I respect personal trainers less the more they touch the client. The more times you have to physically touch the client, then the less I know that I don't know if you know what you're doing less, but you're trying to pretend that there's magic going on.
Magic.
It's called palpating, isn't
magic.
It? When you poke a muscle.
We were joking about it. You were benching the other day and I was poking your chest going, bro.
Yeah, yep. This is what people do, isn't it?
As a joke, but...
You did it as a joke.
But it's Instagrammable, isn't it?
But I don't know. I just see personal trainers just touching their clients and especially on Instagram, going around them, touching them, maneuvering them, feeling them. And I'm thinking, just stop it. What are you actually doing?
Do you know, we had a
chat. It's like DJs when they pretend to press buttons that they're not actually doing. Because when I was in university, I used to do a little bit of disc jockeying in my time.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what it's short for?
Yeah. DJ, yeah.
That just got so much less cool.
That's literally what it is.
Disc jockeying.
I used to do this. In a few different forms and varieties. Not that I was really any good. I only practiced for like, I don't know, 2 years or something like this. But I can watch a DJ and know what they're doing and I know if they're faking it or not.
Okay, so
I know if you're
eye.
Pretending to press buttons, but actually there's nothing going on. Which is 75% of everything.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
They're faking it so much. You know, when you see them on stage jumping around like this and they've got all these buttons and they're doing this with these fucking knobs.
You're making enemies today.
None of them do anything. Okay. These buttons, they're not doing anything. A lot of the DJs at the biggest festivals in the world, they're not actually even allowed to live DJ in case it goes wrong.
That makes
so
sense.
So they play
kind of like the ad-libbing that a lot of the stars do, the singers.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't
they
know
just play
their
tracks, don't they?
There's
been,
I don't know.
You see it a lot. There's been a couple. And then you get the people like, were them brothers back in the 90s who got exposed as it wasn't even them singing?
I know.
They went like so famous, loads of tours and things, and it was just never them singing. Just always, and they were just ad-libbing all of it.
It's the 90s though, you can do anything
what
in the 90s.
What if this isn't us?
What if I'm not me and you're not you? Then who does that make me?
Wow, now we're getting
wow
out there with the thinking.
Wow.
We had a chap here yesterday filming a little, I think it's ending up on Instagram, like promotion for the gym.
Well,
and he
nice.
Was very legit. He had a good little setup. He was on a gimbal, you know, them things that you can move around and it doesn't change the camera.
Of course.
He brought a drone. That was pretty legit. And he had me training my client, doing standard, like, yes, good technique things. And, you know, in the background, it was great. Yeah.
That sounds nice, actually.
Felt semi-professional
I'll
for once.
I'll be excited to see this.
Yeah, exactly.
From one of our sponsors, the Station Gyms Sheffield.
Hey!
Now, welcome back to Health and Happiness Radio. It's Fat Loss.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Five rounds.
What's he say?
Are you ready to rumble?
One of them.
Michael Buffer.
That's the one.
Yes,
he's
Michael
the coolest
Buffer,
guy ever, that guy.
He's equal cool with Bruce Buffer.
That's the one I'm thinking
UFC.
Of. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking
Five
of.
Five rounds in the undisputed heavyweight division.
Wow.
Sponsored by ESPN, brought to you.
Who was I looking at the other day? Who's that UFC fighter who's the best trash talker ever and he's gone to be a commentator now or like something like that? Do you know who I mean?
Depends who you mean. Best trash talker ever, it could be Chael Sonnen.
Yes, it is Chael Sonnen. Yeah,
you could also argue that like Conor McGregor might be.
Conor McGregor,
although
pretty good.
He does take it a bit too far sometimes. He starts talking about people's wives and religions and stuff.
He does.
Whereas Chael Sonnen never even said a single swear word.
No,
in all of his call-outs, he never even said a single swear word.
Conor does like the FOOK.
What do you mean,
fook?
Oh,
it's always the fook
with the accent.
Yeah, it's always
yeah. Massively disrespectful in a number of different ways. isn't it?
Pretty disrespectful.
He's supposed to be coming back to fight again, though, and I like to see it.
That'd be interesting after the leg snappage.
Have you seen what he looks like now?
He's juicy
huge.
As hell.
He's huge.
Dude, yeah, he's not fitting through.
He's been out of the USADA testing pool. USA anti-doping agency.
Joe Rogan said that his piss had melted USADA cup.
I don't know if he's been on steroids or not, but he is looking a thick boy.
He's a thick ass boy.
Looking big.
But you would, wouldn't you? If you gain all that elevation, you've knocked everyone out and you've choked out half the world and then you snap your leg and you get bored and you've just riding around Beverly Hills on a little bicycle recovering, you're going to start getting...
He got knocked off his bicycle, didn't he?
Did he?
Ireland, yeah, somebody ran him over.
Oh, no.
He was fine, though. Who just bounced off the side of the delts.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Head didn't even hit the floor.
Didn't he?
Too much cushioning.
I've told this story before, but I actually have a friend who doctors said if he wasn't taking steroids, he might have died.
You have told
this story. Because he was in a car crash and the car rolled and his traps and neck and shoulders were so big that even though his head went through the side of the window, his neck didn't like get damaged or anything.
Steroids save life.
I think that's the moral of the story, technically.
Do we need a plug, a little disclaimer in there now?
Well, we always label these podcasts as health, fitness, and comedy.
True.
Don't we? Because it's health, fitness, and banter with a banter cast.
With a banter cast.
That's what we are.
This is what we advertise
as.
We are.
And it's up to the listeners to decide when we're being serious and when we're not being serious. And it hopefully...
it's up for them to decide.
It's up for make your own decisions.
Throw shit out.
This is not advice. This is just a conversation.
Agreed. You chose to listen.
We're just talking. So hello. Lovely to see you again. Welcome back to Positivity and Progress Radio with Connor Rhodes and Will Hewkin.
That's nice.
It's your friendly neighbourhood nutritionist, Connor Rhodes. Definitely. Your favourite man from Britain. And it's your favourite personal trainer. The beauty himself, the magnanimous, the unanimous, the infamous, Will Bartholomew Hewkin!
Huzzah!
Oh, by the glory of our grace, God himself.
Brought together by the station gym.
We're back, boy.
To chat shit online.
Well, we have been going 12 minutes and so far we've said nothing.
Yeah, great.
We've made no good points. We haven't started the timer.
Oh, get in! Yeah. I don't have my notebook.
I've got a notebook, but
okay, that's fine.
I've written one note, which is supposed to be the...
I was talking to my girlfriend the other week, Roxanne, and we were saying, Roxy is a scientist by trade. She's a mass spectrometer.
She's the opposite of you. Oh, you don't even know what she is.
She's a chemist, basically, a little drug dealer.
Okay.
Basically, almost exactly that, actually. But we were joking about the fact that she knows more things than she knows how to articulate, and it frustrates her sometimes.
What does that mean?
So she's very... She knows a lot of stuff, but she doesn't have the widest diction, and she doesn't know the most...
The widest diction, limited vernacular.
Vernacular is limited. Yes. And so she gets frustrated sometimes because she can't articulate what's going on in her brain. Whereas I'm the opposite. I know more words than I do things to talk about. So I'm just a bullshit artist, and that's what this podcast comes to prove.
Oh, no.
It's bad.
I'm here trying to give out information.
It's a bad way around to be.
I'm trying to do information, education, positivity, health, happiness, and I've brought with me the Wildman. Haven't I? The Wildman.
Yeah. I just fling shit at the wall and see what sticks. And it's not good.
I'm going to back you up and say that regardless of your stupid attitude and witty repartee, you are an excellent personal trainer.
Thanks,
so
man.
Let's also know.
Well, we do have,
it's up to the listeners to decide.
We have to fall back on the facts at some point.
We do. Sometimes we do all feelings, no facts. Sometimes we do all facts, no feelings.
It's true.
Make your own decisions.
It's true.
We're just ethereally floating back and forth between the two.
Yes, exactly. Let's go back to training and try and segue slightly into today's topic.
We got so far off the topic. So what are you training and what am I training is where we got off.
I don't know.
You don't know what you're training.
I'm going to do, let me see. Let me feel, you know when you've got to do the check, feel what's available. So my back's pretty battered.
What's not sore?
Basically, I'm not on much of a...
You're the health and safety hazard again as well, I've just noticed. Show the camera again how you sit on these chairs.
Why do you
just want... show the camera? Because you're a ridiculous man.
This is how you sit on these chairs.
No, it's not.
This is how you do it. You have to straddle it.
Why are you doing that?
This is ultimate... This is comfort is what you're witnessing right here.
If you're listening, then you can't see what's going on, but he's got his leg
even, look,
out
I
the
can
side
even
of
just
the chair.
Cheek it up.
That's actually kind of a magic trick what's happening there. It's the ultimate health and safety hazard that I've ever seen in my life.
I'm feeling pretty good about it.
It's also mildly suggestive in my direction.
Yes.
With the abduction of those legs.
Do they call it man-spreading?
I don't know.
I call it spreading. What? But I'm
regardless of gender spreading.
Yeah, I'm definitely the worst.
Non-binary spreading.
I'm definitely 100% the worst for it. I can't be constrained to these parallel situations in this chair. It doesn't suit me.
Really?
No.
I've got a variety of...
I think I have
methods.
Like retroverted hips, maybe.
What does that mean?
Retroversion is a thing in your hips where your socket is a little deeper and wider, and so it makes your femurs kind of go more out. And you see people, like some people can squat with their toes perfectly forward and their knees kind of forward as well.
Yeah.
Some people just have to be turned out and have their knees go wider. That's called retroversion. Some people just have shit mobility and do that for that reason. But
I was trying to assess if this is another one of your physical excuses why your technique's worse than mine. Or if it's a real thing.
Is infinitely better than yours.
What are you talking
about?
I'm
the squat master.
At squats.
This is what we're talking about.
At power squats, like, I'll give it you. You've got better technique than me. You've got better technique than basically everyone.
Yeah, this is true.
So screw you.
I agree. I agree with me.
Bodybuilding squats equal. You can't do a bodybuilding style squat better than me, bro. You could do it equally as good as me. I'll allow you this.
Does heavier count as better?
No.
I don't actually know that I could out-squat you at the minute. I'm crawling back up, but I'm still
I'm also not weak as a kitten at the minute. I'm not actually... I'm still probably 10 or 15% weaker than last year.
Right.
Because I just took 3 months off, didn't I? And I've been back training now for about 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm not fully back to full power.
Because off squatting, I took a good like 6 months off heavy squatting. I was hack squatting and things, but not much. Then I snapped my spine deadlifting.
Hack squatting being a machine for people listening.
Hack squatting's awesome.
It's a nice machine as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I prefer it to leg press quite significantly.
I think everyone should. The people that don't are aware that it's harder and that's why they avoid it.
The only reason you could leg press over a hack squat, in my opinion, is if you just wanted pure quad burnout.
Yeah,
but if you just want an extra quad, kind of smallish range, I'm not saying leg press is necessarily.
There's still an argument for hack squat being better for that.
There is definitely. I prefer it because of more glute involvement.
Yeah, there's definitely more glute going on.
Because it replicates the squat, there's more hip hinging going on.
I wouldn't say, from the sake of position, there's any difference in quad between the hack squat and, say, a leg press, but the knee flexion, you can always get more knee flexion, more range of motion on a hack squat than a leg press generally, which just means more
quad. Depends on the type of leg press and on your mobility, yeah.
I would say no, actually. I don't think you need any mobility prerequisites to jump on a hack squat and just sink it.
Some leg presses I think I could go
deeper than hack squats. You don't need any ankle.
Do you know the only way I'm thinking, because my flexibility is really good, I can squat all the way to the bottom and I can sit my hamstrings onto my calves and now I'm at the bottom. Yeah. But there are some leg presses where literally you can get into them and it can like go all the way. Like I could never get that far back.
But if we're talking quads, that doesn't really do anything for quads.
No, you're right. That would make no difference because I've already reached maximum knee flexion.
And knee flexion
I'm talking about getting deep on like the glutes.
Because you've only got your, which is it? One of your quad muscles actually goes over your hip and contributes to a hip flexion.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the sartorius?
It's the medial mother...
Look at us with minimal knowledge.
Anyway, worst cut podcast in the world, moving on.
It's not important.
Today, I might do some shoulder press. I might blast shoulders a little bit.
I'm in.
And then do a bit of arms afterwards.
I'm in.
You're in.
What would you guess I'm training?
What, before that?
No, I asked you what was my plan on entering the
you're
gym.
Always either doing hip thrust and hamstring work, like exclusively. You're doing
it's an upper body day, I'll tell you this.
Okay, so then you'll be benching and doing pull-ups.
I'm doing chest.
Connor's goal is to be able to put this cup on top of his chest and have it stay there whilst you sat upright.
It used to be, historically, in my own opinion, one of my worst muscle groups and least developed. Yeah. And I used to get shoulder impingements, and I've always had good shoulders.
Yeah, agreed.
Maybe because I was getting too much shoulder involvement on my chest movements. Like, historically, I don't know, maybe it's an anatomy thing, maybe it's a ribcage thing.
People have genetic strengths.
So. Yeah, it's just different, isn't it?
I've always had lats. But again, it's like I started climbing before I started training properly, which is essentially training back, isn't it? So maybe I can attribute a bit of that to that.
Yeah, for sure.
So you're starting with bench and pull-ups, that's given.
Pretty much.
Okay.
That's what I do on my upper body days.
I think I'm going to start with, I benched 3 times in a row.
Days in a row?
Yeah. You know how we benched on Saturday, and I was saying it was the most bro thing ever because I never bench and I'd benched the day before. Bigger issue came the next day when I benched again. I was with Peter, my friend, who was like, I want to bench. So we ended up benching again. And now I've benched 3 times in a row. So I have to avoid bench.
And you didn't bench for a year and then you still benched way more than me.
Yes, I was incline pressing quite a lot. I never stopped doing that.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I don't feel so bad then. I thought you'd just done no chest.
No. I was smashing way incline. More bench than me. My training when I was building this place became much more, well, squats and deadlifts went out the window first. Basically anything super systemically fatigued.
Yeah, and lower back intensive because you're doing building work.
It was, picking up things all day and moving things and building things. Yeah, it got very like that. But some stuff like incline, that stayed throughout, pull-ups and things like that. So I found I was training with maybe the same or slightly more intensity, but much less frequency and volume. And it was one of the better times for getting strong for me on the movements I was doing. Obviously, my legs got weaker.
Whatever.
But yeah, incline press wise, I got like the strongest I'd ever been on doing the least amount ever, which kind of makes sense.
Very good.
And it's changed my philosophy a bit towards training a little bit.
You've got excellent beard gains. I saw a picture of me, you and Dave Pearson at Kelm Island Tavern.
Oh God, that must have been yonks ago.
Not that long ago though. It was either before lockdown just right. or in between middle of lockdowns or something like this
okay.
or sometime around there. So it wasn't that long ago. And you were looking smaller and less facially endowed.
Facially endowed.
Shall we say.
I like that term. That's good. Yeah, it's really sprouted this last year. Do you know what my goal is?
It's all the hammering you've been doing.
I think so. I've gained testosterone.
You've been around too many men with too much testosterone, doing too much manual labor and being too manly.
Do you know what was one of the only parts of me that actually grew and got bigger when I was doing this manual work was my thumbs and the thumb muscle.
Yeah, you were showing just me your thumb muscle,
there,
yeah.
It's just, it got gainly.
It's got that grip on
it. Got that grip there, yeah.
It's got that grip.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah, we have the grip tester downstairs, which Phil hasn't tried yet. But
has he not?
I currently hold the record in until he tries it.
Go get it and we'll do it on the podcast.
That's a good idea.
Why don't you just go get it?
I will do.
Mine's going to be the worst by far.
See what I could get today.
My left's significantly weaker than my right, it turns out.
I got
as well.
85 last time, which I quite enjoyed.
I think I got like 70 or something like that.
That ain't bad, though. I'm just excellent at it.
I know you have got excellent forearm strength, like ridiculous, like all that you do on the rings and all the muscle ups and stuff. Like you were showing me the muscle up technique for the first time ever, and it took me a minute or two to get the position right to even hold my body weight like that. I've been doing a few assisted pull-ups.
You have, haven't you? Yeah, which I appreciate.
I find it quite difficult. It's also the angle is very wide and out for doing a pull-up anyway, because I'm doing it on the... You showed me a different way. I was using completely different handles than you would have recommended on the assisted pull-up machine.
Maybe we'll go outside today and go try the rings.
On the rings.
Do a little video.
I was using the wide neutral grips, and you showed me to use the top closer in grips. So I've not tried that since. I've not done it.
Very cool to get yourself a muscle up, wouldn't it?
I should be able to. I can't see why not.
You've got all the athleticism for it.
Yeah, I can do more than 10 pull-ups. I can do dips so easy.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can't see why not. I just need to get the techniques just to go over. And then,
I agree.
Why not? Why not?
I would like to get on the rings today, but I really trained my back yesterday, so that might not be the wisest of moves.
No, we'll calm it then. We'll do it another day. It's
fine. Yeah.
But show me some. I'll practice some more of those techniques, and you can give me a few pointers
sure.
on that training. We came here today, though, to talk about other people's training.
We did.
Didn't we? We were
talking about yours.
Nutrition training. Let me see what time it is. Oh, we've got loads of time.
We do have quite a bit of time.
We've only been going 20. We've got a good amount of time still to get through this. Let me ask you then before we start, just how are you feeling in general? How are you? You know, since last week?
Oh, pretty good, man. Yeah, yeah. I had a bit of a low week, actually, in terms of just no one was about to play on the weekend. My girlfriend, I went up to Scotland to go ice climbing because she's cool.
Did she?
Because she's cool like that. I know. Which I'm very happy for.
Was it snowy and like...
Well, you can remember it here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like a blizzard here. Never mind Scotland.
Let me show you this photo she sent me, if this doesn't disrupt the podcast so much. Look at this shit she was doing.
No way.
It's very legit, that, isn't it?
What the?
Just climbing up ice.
There's no... You couldn't even give me money to do that.
I understand.
I saw a bit of ice on the road here and then went around a different way on the way walking. See if you can show that to the camera.
I was thinking that, yeah.
Just put that on the camera. Yeah, go closer. Look, I can see it on the screen.
Oh, get the ring light out of the way.
That's the one. Look, that's a legitimate ice mountain of some kind.
Yeah.
So mountain of some kind. That's some
I can't do
vertical.
It bores me. I can't do rope climbing like that. It bores me.
So what's
tears.
Going on there? You've got shoes that have got like spikes on them and you're digging them in. You've got two like hook kind of games and then what?
So the shoes, you wear very rigid walking boots. They don't have much flexion to them.
So they're like and climbing shoes for like bouldering?
No, they're walking boots for going up a mountain like that, but for putting the spikes on, which are called crampons, so they're separate to the boot. But if you put them on normal shoes that flex, as your foot flexes, the crampons can fall off. So these boots just can't bend, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crampons go on, they get kicked into the side, and then, you've got axes, which you usually either have like a double-ended axe, so you've got both sides, or you have an axe just on one end and then like a hammer on the other, so you can hammer your other axe in with your other thing. Then you have ice screws, which is where you screw a bolt into the ice, and then that's what you attach your rope to.
I don't like any of this.
It's ridiculous,
isn't
it?
It's cold, it's slippy.
Yeah.
What's happening? Yeah. What's even up there that's worth going up there for? Would also question significantly.
The amount of, I sat Roxy down maybe like a year ago and was like, babe, I love you. I'm not going up any more fucking mountains. I've had enough. And then with the next trip we went on, I went with Dave, our friend, and him and I stayed at the bottom of the mountain and just kicked it and enjoyed the sun while she trekked it up to the top.
And I mean, I respect it, and it's great athleticism and more power you, and I couldn't do it, and I can't do it, and I won't do it, and I shan't do it. So that is cool. I respect
it. It is very cool, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, good
but
for
like,
you.
But like, imagine rock climbing, I get like, I quite like doing solo stuff. Solos where you don't use any ropes.
Yeah.
So you die if you fall.
Oh, great.
So I don't do anything hard when I do that. I do it stuff that I know I can.
Free solo.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can.
Have you seen the documentary, the Alex Honnold one?
Yeah.
What's it called? El Capitan.
El Capitan. Mm. Yeah. That's intense. That's it. Ridiculous as well. That. Yeah.
Who's that rock climber that screams all the time?
Oh,
the famous guy online.
Alexandra, maybe.
I don't know. He's got like a little afro, and he just screams all the time.
I think it's Alexandra. He was arguably the best.
Yeah, he was one of the best,
Yeah, yeah. He's ridiculous. He can climb up bridges. That video of him just like, you know, the corner of a bridge, just climbing up the corner of a bridge.
Mm.
What do you mean, Spider-Man?
Just does what he wants, I guess.
Apparently, yeah. It
attracts a lot of attention while he's
climbing's out. Climbing's cool. I'm a bit of a chonky boy for climbing at the minute.
What are you weighing too much, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, climbers range in all sizes, but I stand at 6 foot and about 82 kilos, which makes me like heavier than is useful for climbing. It's because I like training legs. Mm. Most climbers' legs just flap in the wind.
Thick thighs save lives.
Exactly.
You are cheeked up as well, my boy.
I'm double cheeked up at the moment.
My boy.
I did split squats the other day, and I just get the most powerful glute engagement in split squats. When I wake up the next day, just nothing but glute doms, and then when I walk around,
you can feel the
I'm
glutes.
So aware of the doink, 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 doink.
That sound follows you around, the doink, like a little duck.
Yeah, yeah, I've got a little duck playing a trumpet behind me, just walking around.
Fucking too funny. I remember you on your motorbike,
yeah,
wearing all black, cheeks out the back, helmet on, hair coming down. Anybody think that's a sexy lady? You all leathered up.
Little arch in the back.
Chest on the ground, glutes out the back, hair coming down. You were getting whistled at. Boy.
That's hilarious. Take the helmet off and it's just this bearded, man. Chest hair hanging out. They're like, oh, damn.
Oh,
I've been wolf whistled before when I was once wearing one of my ex-girlfriend's hot pants walking home from Tesco.
Of course you
actual
were.
Short shorts.
Oh, of course you were.
And I don't have the hairiest legs. We keep it nice and sexy down there, you know?
Right.
This is it. And so I'm walking home and I hear a wolf whistle. I turn to see a white van go past me with a man sticking his face out, looking at me with a grin on his face.
What?
And then I just suddenly saw the terror in his eyes when he realised that he had his first game encounter. And I was so glad to be a part of
it. Turning people.
This is it.
Turning apparently. Heads. Hello, sir.
Oh, good.
Welcome.
So there won't be any legs today, I know that much. I'm going to shoulder press, I'm going to blast, delts a little bit, and then do some
I'm not doing legs maybe. Either. I did hamstrings yesterday.
Yeah,
I've got the worst hamstring soreness from Romanian deadlifts.
That will do it.
The worst. I did way too many sets. I did the classic podcast trick. I was trying to record a video of me doing it, and I did two sets without actually pressing record. I just put the phone down there and pointed it in the right direction and didn't press record.
That's awful. That's
so I ended up doing like six sets rather than four. Okay. So my technique's unbelievable. I was happy to see.
Of course.
Yeah, I was like, watching a robot instructional on how to do it right. Watching myself do it, I was like, wow, I'm good.
Yeah, wow, I should really take notes from me.
Yeah. Wow, imagine if I was a
agree with me. Look
this.
At this. Yeah. Do you favour the barbell or the dumbbell?
Barbell.
Yeah.
Barbells.
Every time. Double overhand.
Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to what?
Mix.
This? No.
Or strap?
No.
How? What's the heaviest you ever go?
Right now, not heavy, 70.
Okay.
70 kg. In the past, the most I've done is like 120 for like 10. I used to be able to do a lot, but not anymore. I'm just building it back up.
Okay.
When I first started in the gym 2 months ago, I was doing like 30 kg. Not because that was the max I could
do.
No,
of course.
Just because I just didn't want to just destroy it.
Option.
Yeah, I was just building it back up, just doing the progressive overload. Now I'm up to 70 and it's easy on 70. I can do like nice, really low paused reps, perfect spine, boom, back to the top, glutes forward, that kind of shit. really good. So my hamstring's absolutely dead. I'm going to do quads tomorrow and glutes. So today I'm on upper body, which for me is mostly chest and a bit of side delts and some armage.
Yeah, I'll let you take... I'm going to overhead press when you bench and not superset pull-ups because I don't like cardio. Which is, yes, falls within the realms of cardio for me.
I also would like to overhead press though.
Oh, okay. We'll see then. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Let's talk...
We need to talk about the actual... We're exactly 30 minutes in, so that's good.
This is perfect, okay. So people, today we would like to...
Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast. That's the 30-minute intro.
We're starting now, so...
This is the beginning.
This is the beginning of the podcast.
We have started, we're live.
We had a minor 5-minute, you know, little intro.
A meandering.
That's all that took, 5 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And then, now we're going to talk about how to come to the gym, how to start your training, how to go about the absolute brain foggery that is the gym. You know, what are your goals? How do you even figure out and understand what your goals are? It's very often you sit down with a client in a consultation and they say their goals, they might say, my goals are to tone up and lose a bit of weight. And so I need to go on a run and do crunches. And then, you know, just immediately the outcome doesn't match the goals. And you start wondering, you start losing yourself.
So you're talking about which tools people should use for which job to get which outcome, yes. To achieve which result.
Exactly.
Yeah, can I interrupt you slightly as well?
Go on.
I apologize. I was listening to you on purpose, but pretending not to when you were doing a consultation the other day, and you were as amazing as I knew you would be.
Because I didn't think when this would be.
You were with Fiona Gregory.
Oh, legit, cool. Yeah, yeah.
We were both just sat in the cafe. And I couldn't hear everything you were saying, but I was watching a little bit and listening because I've known obviously many, many personal trainers, and one thing that's always goes on that's private is consultations. So like you've never seen me do a consultation.
No, you've right.
never seen you do a consultation. So you just don't know what other people do or what they say. And you were exactly as I thought you would be, normal, going through everything nicely, asking the lady questions about her goals, showing her what options were available. And I thought, I knew it, of course.
I get it.
I mean, I never questioned it once, but it was just nice to get the confirmation.
Something you probably missed from that, because it happened when we first sat down before we bumped into you.
Yeah.
Was something that made me laugh. Obviously, Fiona Gregory, hilarious woman, very nice, by the way. She was part of your group in the past.
She was.
Which she did very well on, but said that for her, calorie counting isn't something she enjoyed. Mm. And that obviously that's your entire ethos and the way that you go about your business, and she wasn't really interested in doing that.
Well, that's definitely wrong.
Well, I said to her, I said, okay, so maybe unfortunately for you, but correctly, I do exactly what Connor does because it's the correct way to do it.
Yeah.
Is what I said.
No, I don't make anybody calorie.
No,
and people don't have to do that.
So calorie counting, calories exist as a metric in the way that a centimeter measures distance as a way of measuring energy.
The calorie measures energy, yeah.
So it is the most universal and easy way to understand what you're putting into you. But the goal isn't necessarily just to understand the calories, it's to understand what you're putting into you. So you can use different metrics like weighing things, portions, writing it down. You know, you're just writing exactly what you eat down.
Yep.
That's what we're doing when we're measuring when we're counting calories anyway.
Yep.
It's helpful to know. It's good to educate yourself, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
I recommend. And I always say that anyway.
I recommend that.
Apologies, people.
I recommend that most people should do it at some point.
Yes, of course. Just to
so that you can learn what calories are in things, because you will be surprised if you've never done it before. That's maybe for some people okay. Maybe it's not good for their mental health or psychology. There's no tool that's a universal tool. I understand and accept that. I don't have every client calorie count, not even close. But since I work mostly with people for weight loss and calories is the main thing for weight loss, do you think it'd be a good idea to control the correct variable?
Yeah.
Rather than just crossing your fingers and just hoping that the correct variable is controlled and
let's backtrack this a little bit then to make this our first point. So if you come to the gym and your goal is fat loss,
yeah,
go.
Well, fat loss is primarily going to be a nutritional thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So if you come to the gym and your goal is fat loss, good. Mm-hmm. You're still doing the right thing. You should still exercise. I think everybody should exercise, whether your goal's fat loss, strength, muscle, no goal. If you just want to be healthy and happy, or if you just want to be a person that can move around the world and have a body that's sustainable and lasts you across a lifetime, you should just exercise anyway, regardless. Are things that you do in the gym useful for fat loss? Yes, in some ways they are. You can burn calories, sure. You can get your fitness up, this helps. You can learn to move around better, this helps in the long term. You can build some muscle, makes your metabolism a little bit faster. Of course, you can do all these things, this is good. But probably for fat loss, what would you think? I'd think 80% of the result comes from the actual food, probably.
And I would say that even the the 100% of the gym that will help, 80% of that is probably just the psychological kind of like get up and go, as in like it pairs nicely with fat loss. If you've got yourself goals to get stronger in the gym slightly, and maybe they're related to body weight things, like being able to do a push-up is often one of the first things I give to fat loss clients that haven't trained before. If they can pair something like that, it's a very tangible way of kind of measuring the performance of what it's doing to you. Because fat loss, you know, your goal isn't just to lose weight, to lose fat, it's to look better, to look how you want, and to move better and move how you want.
Or to feel better, exactly. Or to improve health.
So if you've got a metric in the gym for how you're feeling, like, oh, push-ups are really hard.
I understand where you're going with this.
But then, yeah, and that's directly linked to fat loss, because if you lose weight and then you're doing push-ups and you're working on push-ups, you're working on creating better tools to do an easier job, because your muscles are getting bigger, the tools, and the load is getting lighter because the fat's going down. So it's an interesting way of measuring your actual feel progress of how you're getting on. And they're the little things, because we have to consider the longevity of fat loss. If you're spending a year, say, losing the weight you want to lose, you're going to have some miserable times over that year. It's going to be a bit annoying because you're just on low energy for a whole year, basically. And it's nice to give yourself these little psychological boosts of watching yourself get better, improving the gym, fit into the jeans that you want, things like that, isn't it?
I love these points, very good. I completely agree with all these. And a couple of additional points I thought was another thing that going to the gym does for fat loss is it compounds momentum. Like after you do one good thing, it's easier to do more good things. Like my brain works exactly like this. If I've trained, my brain then tells me, protein. You need to get some protein. Exactly, bro. And then if I get protein, because you can't just eat protein on its own, you can't just eat like plain meat or whatever. I've got to make some kind of meal or get some kind of something that goes with this.
Yeah, yeah.
So now because I've trained, I've eaten a higher protein intake. This means my food quality is immediately better. My nutrition is better. This means my hunger levels are lower. My craving levels are lower. Now I'm on a good track already. If I don't train, my brain doesn't say you need more protein. So do you know what? I eat more of carbs.
Yeah.
Then I'm hungrier because my nutritional quality and intake is lower.
And if we follow that psychology, it ends up becoming a habit. And then that ends up becoming a lifestyle. Mm. If you're a decade, more than a decade, a decade into training? More than a decade.
My own training, yeah. 15 years.
15 years into training, you're never going to not train. You're never going to wake up and think, oh, I've got to train today. It's just a thing that happens in your life. It's a lifestyle now. It's no longer a habit.
Personally, I don't like it. I never really want to train. I don't like training.
But that's just what I mean. It also doesn't really occur to you like that. You're just like, oh, I'm training today. Of course I am, because today is a day of the week.
Yeah, if I can do it, I will do it.
Today ends in the word day.
I just don't. I don't like it. I just don't care that I don't like it.
Exactly.
Because I need it.
Yeah.
And I need the results out of it, and I need the health and happiness that it brings, and the longevity and the quality of life. And I know how powerful I am, and how good my energy levels are, and how much I can get done. Literally. Bro, over the last 2 days as well, I worked so hard.
You've told me.
You know, Macros Inc. online.
Intense. Yeah.
Literally, I just... Because... Like we spoke about briefly on last episode, towards the end of last year and at the beginning of this year, I just wasn't feeling good mentally, and I just wasn't on top form at all. I forgot how powerful I am and how much stuff I can get done. I forgot that my efficiency level is just so big. I just can get so much stuff
done. It is ridiculous. I agree.
That's what I've always been like, though, isn't it? Like,
yes. You've never skipped a beat when I've known you.
Just pure savagery, isn't it? Just like... Especially when we're living down at Kelham Island and in the city centre near you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just savagery non-stop, no matter what's happening.
It's one of the things that frustrates me about me, is that of the things that I can just powerhouse through and I'm just the best at, I'm so shit at just getting up and going in the morning. Waking up to do something just for myself, like at 6, and then start doing work online or something, I'm very bad at that. I'm very bad at getting out of bed.
I am. I'm not very bad at getting out of bed because I don't sleep well. I'm very good at getting out of bed because every morning, by the time it gets to the morning time, I'm sick of being in bed and waking up and wondering why hasn't enough time passed yet, that it's not time to get out of bed.
Insomnia.
Like, I woke up at 1 o'clock today, and then like 2:30, and then like 4. Then by 4, I'm literally thinking, why has more time not passed? Mm-hmm. Like, why is it still 4 a.m.? Feels like I've been in bed forever. I've tried to go to sleep 11 times. And I do sleep. I don't have a problem falling to sleep. I just wake up a lot. That's just the way it's always been.
Oh, okay. Really?
All my life, yeah. So I get out of bed easy. But then I'm also just like everybody else. I also struggle to do the right things. So I set up my life and situation to make it easier for me to succeed and harder for me to fail. I like literally control my environment very closely. Like, you know me, like I never watch TV, like I don't own a TV. Where I live now, there is a TV, sure. But it was already there when I got there. It's not my TV. If I could take it down, I've considered taking it down, but then I have to take the bracket off the wall and then there's holes in the wall.
Yeah, because you don't really watch films or anything, do you?
Not really, no. I don't play games. I don't play games on my phone. At the weekend, you said nobody was around to play. It's because I was playing out with one of my other friends. I went to visit a friend in Rotherham, and I do play games with him because it's one of his favorite things to do. And
we video games
sometimes, video games sometimes, card games, oh, cool. Sometimes just variety, sometimes board games, bit of other stuff, and we chat, have a couple of drinks, do a bit of this. It's like it's like mildly focusing, but also you can chat and you can chill while you're doing it, kind of thing. So I do that with him, but I literally don't allow myself to do it out of that time because I'll love it too much and I'll become distracted. And I will like to do it. Yeah, actually, you know, towards the beginning of this year, I was playing an online game with that guy.
Oh, right.
We were playing this Pokemon battle game on mobile phone. The reason I allowed it was because it wasn't that fun that I loved it. It was all right, but it was a bit sucky. But I also didn't mind it because my mental health wasn't good. I was using it as a form of distraction and it did work. If I wasn't powerful enough to do anything legitimate, rather than sit and stare at the wall and just feel like crap, I would just call my friend.
It's a Charizard around.
I would call that friend and I would call my friend and we would put it on speakerphone and then play this Pokemon battle game against each other while talking on the phone, kind of thing. I'd do that for like half an hour a day or something like this. But then I found myself thinking about that game and spending, I saw how many, each battle takes 10 minutes on the game, and I saw how many battles I'd done and I thought, that's a lot of hours. You know, if you count that up.
In lockdown, I remember,
and I immediately
had to stop. I spent just on my screen. You know when you get your screen weekly report time? In lockdown, some of the times it had gone up to like 8 hours.
On your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. It
doing no business. Doing
oh, I was going to say, because I do like work on my phone.
No,
so
I had no work to do on my phone in lockdown. Nothing. I was just on my phone, scrolling. Mm. No, I
Doom
don't play
scrolling.
Games.
Huh? Doom scrolling.
Just ADHD paralysis. Just sat there, absolutely trapped and hating every minute of it, but looking so relaxed on the outside. Mm. Scrolling away, getting it done.
Containing the rage.
Containing the rage. Explosion.
I'm glad you're back though now, and I'm also back. So no, I don't play games or nothing like this. I try and have minimum distractions in my life so that I try and either relax or walk or exercise.
I did go up and go to the sauna yesterday morning before coming to work and things.
That's right, the sauna here?
No, the one in town called at McKeel Hotel. I really
you've invited me to this many times and I've never accepted the offer.
Oh yeah, yeah, because you're worst, right?
I'm just a terrible guy.
Yeah. And I love it because, I can't wait. I'm going to get myself. I keep losing my headphones and now I've lost my mind because there's too much going on. I need the distraction. But going in the sauna, listening to something on the headphones is the best thing ever. Getting in the cold
shower.
Can you
get your phone in the sauna? Is that a real thing?
I could do, but it gets impolite.
Oh, are they wireless headphones?
Yeah, these ones would be.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. I understand what situations you're
going. I used to love doing it, but whatever. We've gone off on a tangent again.
Of course. We say everything and we get nowhere. Everything and nothing at the same time.
So recapping the fat loss.
It's about what you eat mostly. We should do a different episode on this, really. How long have we been going?
We should.
We've only got 15 minutes, so let's move on to training.
Okay, really.
So if you've got weight loss goals, yes, you should exercise. You should also try and walk more because step count burns more calories than anything else. Your tools of effectiveness for fat loss are these in order of importance. Number one, direct dietary calorie control. Number two, walking more, step count or non-exercise activity thermogenesis increase. Number three, formal exercise such as cardio or weightlifting. And number five, I've just gone one, two, miss one, nine.
You've got a nutrition.
I can't count. I just can't count to three.
That's
clearly. Wait, so calorie control through the diet, walking more, training, eating more protein. These are your tools of effectiveness.
Agreed. Yes.
So, but if somebody turns up to the gym, let's talk about different goals then, and maybe they want to build a bit of strength, build a bit of muscle. They wouldn't mind a bit of fitness. Mm-hmm. Or a beginner comes to you, or a beginner comes to me. You can go first by all means. What would you say? I'm your client.
Okay.
I'm here in the consultation.
Hello, I'd like some gains, please.
Hello, sir. Hello, I would like some help.
Please, sir, can I have some more gains?
I would like some arms, please. Can you give me
some
of yours?
I would say there are two schools of thought, really, to bring you to a conclusion. One would be that you want to improve your performance in certain things. You might want to bench press a certain amount. You might be like, I'd like to be able to squat this much weight.
No.
Or
This is not the goal for the client.
No, this is what I'm saying. Or the goal is you might want to have specific areas that you want to just improve the way they look specifically. And then that infers what you need to do training-wise in terms of to push that muscle.
Okay, yeah, so I understand. It depends what outcomes you're trying to get for what kind of training program you do. But wait, though, we're going to have to simplify it because we've been on 45 minutes and we've done no education. We've done all the chattering.
We've done some education.
We appreciate you being here, ladies and gentlemen. It's all for positivity and power, isn't it, my darling? But I am the client.
Okay.
This is the consultation. I want to build some strength, overall full body. I'd like to build some muscle. Yep. I don't have any particular proclivities towards any particular or specific area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some chest.
So you do?
A bit. But overall, just full body muscle and strength building, bit of fitness as well, because why not? What are we doing?
So if you come in, the biggest thing to consider, first of all, is kind of the safety, the frequency of training, the intensity of training, all these things kind of compiled. So optimal training frequency would be like twice a week. Training everything twice a week, but...
I like that you've said this. This is good. Because I know you're going to go into more points and we're going to get nowhere in the conversation, but we need to pause on this.
Because you keep interrupting me.
I know, I'm sorry. You just make too many good points and you're going to rattle past them without, I don't know, delving deep enough into some of them that are very important in my opinion. Because too many people think that they have to train 3 to 5 times a week to get results, otherwise it's not going to work. And this is just, people overwhelm themselves, don't they? If you did a full body session, I agree, as a beginner, and you're getting down to the gym twice a week and you hit each muscle group for one or two exercises, which takes 6 or 8 exercises probably to cover the total whole body, doesn't it?
The volume, the intensity that you need when you first start at the gym is very, very low.
So you're saying you need to do less than you think. I agree, this is a very good point.
So like twice a week. At the nth degree, someone that had been training for a decade and was also...
Wait, somehow I'm migrating out of the camera.
I'm just banging in the middle, look at me.
Hello. Touch knees.
Yeah, let's do that.
Gives me security in the conversation. if I can feel the way you
That's
are.
Hilarious.
Makes me feel a lot
Are you
better.
Blind? What's going on? That's funny. So the frequency, yes, twice a week, excellent, cool. Once a week, if you first come into the gym,
you can make gains.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't
you can
matter.
Make gains.
If you're coming from a position of doing nothing, it doesn't matter. If you start training once a week, you're doing 100% more than you were doing before.
No, if you train zero and then you train once, you have to times zero by infinity to
so
get to one. You've done infinitely more than zero. It's not even 100% more.
Then we get to volume and intensity.
So you've made infinite gains.
The volume being how much you actually do in terms of. That would come down to the sets and the reps of things. Yeah. A good place to start would be doing 2 sets of everything to
like
start
this.
With, outside of warm-ups. So warm-ups, obviously you have what's called a general warm-up, which is coming and walking on the treadmill, doing a little cycle, something like that, which is a good idea, but not necessary. It gets your brain engaged, it gets the blood moving, it gets things
warm. Joints warm.
Yeah, things like that.
I like it sometimes.
It's not a bad idea, but... We would say we don't do it most of the time.
Most of the time I don't do it.
No.
Most of the time.
The other kind of a warm-up.
A warm-up specific to the exercises that you're doing.
So this is the other kind, which is called a local warm-up, isn't it? Which is basically, in the easiest way, picking the movement that you're doing and doing lighter versions of it. Outside of that, you might do some stretching, you might do some mobilizing of the joint, things like this.
I like a bit of that. But you're saying the best warm-up for squats is lighter squats. The best warm-up for bench is lighter bench.
Of course.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. And those warm-ups exist to get your... specifically the joints you're training warm. That includes the joints and the muscles. It exists to get your brain engaged with what you're doing, because it's very easy to just lie down on a bench and push weight, but you have to try and understand the technique and get that in your brain. That takes warm up, so that's like warming up your neurology of the whole thing. And then by the time you get up to your working weight, you're in a safe position where everything's warm, you've tested things, and it's unlikely that you're gonna hurt yourself. You've gotten used to the technique in your brain so that it's safe and it's powerful, basically. Then I would say go ahead and do 2 sets of whatever you're doing. And talking on the intensity, you can train to what we call failure. That's like training until you can't do anymore. You should basically avoid this when you start, I think.
You think so?
I think so. I think no one's technical proficiency is competent enough
I agree
to train
this.
Anywhere near failure of good technique.
I agree with this. The caveat I would say is I think that most beginners don't know what failure is, and they stop when it hurts when they think they can't do another. Whereas if I put a gun to your head, you'll do 9 more.
Yeah.
That's what it'll be. Exactly. They stop because it hurts. A lot of people can't push to failure even to start with, but I agree. Mm-hmm. A beginner could get nowhere near failure before technique breakdown. Mm-hmm. Probably less, probably if you're going less than like five RIR, like reps in reserve,
yep.
In my opinion, if you're a beginner, your technique's gonna start breaking down.
Yeah, probably.
So I agree with this, this probably, is a very good point. Yeah. Safety first.
And I always say that as well, teaching people what RIR is, which is reps in reserve, which is to say, if you're training to complete failure, going backwards from there, one, two, three, four, five, reps in reserve is how many you have left in the tank. Training to five reps in reserve is a good place to maybe try and aim for your first couple of weeks of training.
If you're a beginner, this is a great move.
I mean, it's definitely still going to be intense like that for you, so having gone from doing nothing. But one thing I would say, even though it falls outside of what we've just said, on maybe your last set of, say, bench, push, maybe not bench, maybe something that you can safely bail off from, so say push-ups or something, say to yourself, I'm going to go until I think I've got five left in the tank. That's when where I've been stopping for the last couple sessions. And now I am going to go to failure. I'm going to see how many I get. And you really have to understand that that isn't mental failure. It's mechanical failure. It's going until your chest can't get off the floor and you have to roll to the side.
It'd be important to specify which exercises to do this on, though. Don't do it on bench.
That's
don't
what I just
do it,
said.
Yeah, don't do it on squats. Don't do it on overhead press. Don't do it on deadlifts.
Yeah.
Do it on either press-ups or a chest press machine or a shoulder press machine or a row machine, like a pull machine, probably not even a barbell row for a beginner.
Keep your technique as consistent as you can at that time. And
what's the point of why you're saying this? Just because you want them to see how many they can actually do so they learn.
Yeah.
At some point, you've got to learn that, I agree.
You've got to learn that. You've got to understand if you're telling the truth to yourself or not, because most people really aren't. They've done studies where they can tell that most people have got far more in the tank than they actually think they have. And when we understand that in a set taken to failure, you've only really got somewhere around the last five reps that actually contributed anything towards any kind of strength or muscle gain. If you're not even tickling that, if you're just warming the muscle up essentially, what are you doing? It's just a waste of time.
So it's like effective volume versus total volume.
Of course, because the amount of people that come to the gym and put the time in and come here, but then just literally don't work hard enough is ridiculous. You see it all the time. Everyone knows loads of people.
Maybe the technique's slightly off and they're not pushing the sets to any sort of decent intensity or proximity.
Exactly, they go until their brain says they're done and then they stop, as opposed to when their body says they're done. And if you say, take a set to failure and you get to 10 reps and that's complete failure, the first five reps of that, all they were fatiguing you so that the last five reps could be effective. If you stop in the first five, you've stopped in the ineffective range, whereby you're not getting anything from that.
So your sets are just less effective overall.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So the amount of times you get close to failure is quite important in training. As you get more and more into it, initially the safety and the technique kind of trumps everything. You can only be as strong as you are technically proficient, you can only ever be as good at engaging a muscle or as building it as you are strong and technically proficient. Because it's like using a drill. If you're trying to drill into the wall and you have no clue how a drill works, you're going to end up with a mashed up hole and it's not going to be good. You need to understand the tool you're using to be able to benefit from it.
Yep.
So if you're doing squats with the absolute worst technique ever, you might be chewing up your lower back, you might be giving yourself knee issues, you're probably not going to build any quads or glutes or anything like that. You need to exist within the realms of safety and good technique so that you can use that tool appropriately and get as strong as possible at it.
Bro, we've got not long left.
No.
We haven't covered the topic of conversation even 1%. That was good what you just said. Of course I agree with all your points. Can I add on a few more points?
Yeah, go on.
And then you see if you've got anything else important, and then we need to stop this episode, we need to go get Phil, and we need to start episode.
I know.
Points I would say is I understand exactly what you're saying. Two sessions a week, maybe three sessions a week. This is really good. You want to do nice warm-ups. How do you choose what weight you're on? Start on something too light and then just keep racking it up. Everything that's not a hard set's not effective anyway, like Will said. So just keep racking the weight up by a bit each time until you get used to it. And then find a weight that you can do for somewhere between 10 and 20 reps with decent proximity to failure, like Will said. And then blast two sets of it, maybe three, if you thought you could work a bit harder. All right, fine. Then to cover the full body, we need to be doing 6 or 8 movements. On the upper body, there's exercises that push away from you horizontally, like press-ups or bench press or chest press. There's exercises that row, so you need a press and a row horizontally. Then you need a push up. You need something that goes vertical, like a shoulder press or a side raise or an upright row. You need something that comes down, like pull-ups or Lat pull down, yeah. So you've got horizontal push and pull, vertical push and pull. This covers all the primary upper body muscles. And then for the legs, you've got push, pull, and hinge. Mm-hmm. Hinge, technically, you don't have to do it if you do a good push, like squat or something like that, or lunges or Bulgarian split squat.
But it is a good idea.
But it's a good idea if you've got volume to do that and if you've got work capacity to make
it's one of the harder ones to learn, which is why you might...
Except maybe hip thrusts. I like starting people on that. It's easy.
Yeah,
it's
easy to understand. Too hard.
No, it's easy to understand. It's safe. I also find it a good primer for teaching people Romanian deadlifts. Because it's the same movement, one's just laid down and the other one's sat up, it's just hips back, hips forward, straight spine, keep your head down kind of game. It's almost the same. So I teach people hip thrust first, and then when they get to Romanians, I just basically instruct them to do the same thing again but stood up. Sweet. And they kind of get it in a way. I found that not a bad like cue point and teaching system. So then you cover the whole body, you need a leg pushing exercise like leg press or squats or lunges, you need a pulling exercise, hamstring curl, Romanian deadlift if you can do that. And then that's about it. Do it two or three times a week. Consistency is variable number one. If you only go for 3 weeks, you'll make no progress. If you go for 3 months, you'll make more. If you go for 3 years, you'll make more. If you go for 30 years, you'll look and feel great. Mm. What do you think? Any other good, important points? Have I missed any?
I mean, just to segue off of that as a last point, I think that this, the consistency is the most important thing. You can run the best program for 2 weeks and get nowhere.
You'll do nothing.
And so you have to consider longevity. Too many people come in and cane it, and of course, don't come after 2 weeks because they've caned it.
Or they're doing too many sessions, and when they do only, I only went twice rather than 11 times this week, and they feel downhearted.
Exactly. So make it something that works into your lifestyle. Little habit changes here and there until you start seeing it become a lifestyle, and then you know, then you can start being like, okay, this is what I do, I can cane it a little bit more. We need to do this episode again with absolute more focus.
Way more information.
Way more information.
And less,
which we shall do.
Less me and you being great together. And now for a word from our sponsors. Welcome to Fit Talk Radio. We are sponsored by me, Connor Rhodes Fitness on Instagram, Will Hewking, WH Body Architect.
That's me, people.
That's him. Wow. That's the boy on Instagram.
The Station Gym Sheffield. That's where we are now.
At the Station Gym Sheffield, the best gym in Sheffield. Come on down. You'll find us here and other great personal trainers and people. We're sponsored by Macros Inc., who I work for. If you want help by Will online, go to WH Body Architect. If you want help from anybody else who's the world-class professional that's not Will, go to at Macros Inc. and message them.
They're the two options.
These are your two best options. Listen, you either like Will or you come see us at Macros Inc. This is how you get a world-class experience. And we're also sponsored by your brother's barbershop, Marcus Hewkin Hair.
Yeah, Aberdale Road. If you need a fresh trim, he's a cuts expert and he knows what he's doing.
Do they do women's?
He does cuts. He doesn't colour, but he cuts anything.
He'll cut you, bro.
He'll cut a thing or two.
And he'll do a fancy fade as well, I've seen Instagram. I see it all the time. To spell this though, it's at, and then Marcus is M-A-R-C-U-S, so it's Marcus with a C, and then Hewkin is H-U-K-I-N.
Hair.
Hooking.
Hewkin.
Marcus Hewkin.
Hewkin.
Hair.
On Instagram. Find him there.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Peace. We'll see you next time.